Hello, everybody. This is Mrs. Hendler. Hello to all my darling, wonderful students, and to all the darling, wonderful girls who are not my students, who have taken the time to listen. I hope you're all doing well and staying strong during these times. Okay, the first thing that I want to say before anything is that there are so many shiurim and so many Rabbanim and speakers and Divrei Hisorus and words of inspiration and chizuk that we are hearing during these incredible days. I want to talk to you from the perspective of a hedyot, a commoner. I want to share with you what I've been thinking and what I've been feeling, and also try to pass on to you some of this inspiration that I have heard during these days. Okay, so initially, I was going to talk about Eishes Chayil, but I just decided that I would rather take the route of talking about this Inyanei Diyoma, and hopefully we can all learn and grow together. Okay, so if you were to ask someone who had a headache, what are the first immediate effects of a headache, the person would not say, well, I have a headache and therefore I can't go to work. Or I have a headache, I have this terrible headache and therefore I can't go out with friends. Or I have a headache and I can't concentrate. That's not what his response would be. His response would be, if you were to ask him, what is the matter? You have a headache. What is the first primary effect of this headache? He would say, I have terrible pain in my head. The rest are all consequences of this terrible pain in my head. Because of this terrible pain in my head, I can't go to work. And because of this terrible pain in my head, I can't go out with friends. And because of this terrible pain in my head, I can't function the way I normally would. When we ask the question, what is the first effect of this situation? What is the primary effect of this situation? It's not that we can't go to work, and it's not that we can't go to school, and it's not that we can't get together with friends. The primary effect of this situation is that there is a new level of awareness, one that I don't think I ever had before, that we are not in control. There is no enemy that is attacking us. There's no person that's trying to hurt us that we can overcome. There's no country that we are at war with in this situation. There is no identifiable being getting in our way. Yet, there is a feeling of complete surrender that I have never, ever, ever felt before. There is a feeling that I am not in control, and this is a sentiment that we are all sharing, that I have absolutely no control over the situation to a degree that we've never felt before. Now, I want to explain something to you. It's human nature for a person to want to have control. It's natural. It's normal for humans to want to have control and to feel like they are in control. No matter how many shiurim I have gone to, no matter how many pages of Living Emunah that I have read, no matter how many times we have said the words Ein Od Milvado, when we are done, after we've learned those lessons, right, we get into our car, or I'll speak for myself, I get into my car, and I drive to the bank. And then I drive to the grocery. And then I drive to the shopping, the supermarket. And then I come home and I make supper. It's counterintuitive for humans to give up control, even if they're learning and studying and trying to. Adam HaRishon wanted to eat from the Eitz Hadas so that he could have Bechira, so that he could have control. When the Yidden were Chote by Chet HaEgel, they wanted to have an intermediary because they did not want to be completely submissive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't want to be overwhelmed by having this direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and being completely and totally submissive to him. They wanted someone in between them. This is the story of our ages. Giving up control and giving up our will to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will is counterintuitive to human nature. So the first thing that is coming out of this situation, the primary, first, and complete effect of what's coming out of this situation is what is going on? What is happening around us? We're in a free fall. We have no control. You know, if you were to go over to a CEO, or President Trump for that matter, a month ago, and you would have said to him, you know, I just want you to know that in a month, in the middle of March, there is going to be a major, major crash in the stock market. It's going to go down 10,000 points. The economy is going to totally go bust. He would have looked at you and he said, you don't know what you're talking about. And not only would he have said that, all the big CEOs of all the big companies would have all laughed at you. They would have said, you don't know what you're talking about. We got this. We got this. Go to sleep. Go take an aspirin and go to sleep. They would have laughed at you. We got this. We're in control. We know what's going on. The economy is at an all-time historic high. It's not going to fall. It's not going to crash. If you would have gone over to the owner of a basketball team a month ago, and you would have said to him, I just want you to know that in 1 month from now, mid-March, your teams are going to be shut down. He would have looked at you and he would have said, you need to be admitted someplace. He would have started to laugh out loud at you. He would have said, you don't know what you're talking about. I run the games. I own the games. I've got this covered. I have this. Go take a pill and go to sleep. If you would have approached B'nai Torah and you would have said to them, I want you to know that in a month, yeshivos are going to close. Chadarim are going to close. There's going to be no minyanim. They would have laughed at you. They would have said, what are you talking about? There's no such thing as closing a yeshiva. There's no such thing as davening with the minyan. Not davening with the minyan. There's no such thing. They would have laughed at you. But when you start to recognize that you don't have control, that we're not in control, then none of this is laughable. We are being forced to realize that Ein Lanu Ela Avinu Shebashamayim. We have never, ever been pushed this far. Never. Never have we been pushed this far, certainly not in our lifetimes, to recognize who is in control. We are being forced to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken away all of our control. We can't go where we want. We can't do what we want. We can't travel what we want. We can't get together with our friends. We can't go shopping. We can't hang out. We can't eat in restaurants. We can't do anything that we used to be able to do. But I want to share something with you that is so beautiful and so special and so wonderful about these times right now that I heard from my brother, B'Shem Rebbe Schlesinger, Rebbe Schlesinger from Ansi. It's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken everything away from us. All of our thoughts that we, all of our abilities to be in control, and we are being forced to recognize that He and only He is in control. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken everything besides for Him away from us. I don't know about you, but in our house and with everyone who I have spoken to over the last few days, we've all been talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have all been recognizing and connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and sensing His presence more than ever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. Rabbi Schlesinger said He is more present in this world than He has ever been. I don't know if he said that He's ever been ever, but certainly in our lifetime. He is here, and we have an unbelievable opportunity during these times to get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's here. Let's get to know Him. Let's get acquainted with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's try to understand more what He wants from us. Let's try to let go of what we think we should be doing and accept and recognize what He wants us to be doing. This is a wonderful, unbelievable time. You know what? Sorry, I don't mean to be coughing. I'm really feeling okay. This is a wonderful time when we make a bracha to say the words slowly. We're not in a rush. Where are we going? We're not getting in our cars and going anywhere. We're not running out to school. You wake up in the morning and you make yourself a coffee. You can say the words Baruch Ata Hashem slowly, carefully, connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, talking to Hashem. Finally, we have that chance to do that. I want to tell you an unbelievable story that, again, I heard from my brother, B'Shem Rav Schlesinger. When Rav Shimon Schwab, who was a contemporary Gadol, Znifter a number of years ago, went to Radin to learn, he went into the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim recognized that Rav Shimon Schwab had certain kaiches and had certain strengths and abilities to be a leader, a gadol, which he was. And the Chafetz Chaim had a conversation with Rav Shimon Schwab, and he said the following. Now, we know that the Chafetz Chaim did not just talk idly, so there was meaning to every word that he said. He sat down with Rav Shimon Schwab and he said, "Do you know that I am a Kohen?" And Rav Shimon Schwab said, "Yes." And the Chafetz Chaim said, "Are you a Kohen?" And Rav Shimon Schwab said, "No." So the Chafetz Chaim said, "Are you a Levi?" And Rav Shimon Schwab said, "No." And then Chafetz Chaim said, "Do you know why I am a Kohen and you're not? Because thousands of years ago, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, 'Mi Lahashem Eli,' my great-great-great-grandfather ran to Moshe Rabbeinu. And your grandfather didn't. what was the Chafetz Chaim saying over here? What was he saying? HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out to us, Mi LaHashem Eli, and has called out to us, Mi LaHashem Eli, many times over the generations. Right now, Rabbi Schlesinger said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling out, Mi LaHashem Eli. It is an opportune time, girls, now, to run towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to run to Him and say, I am here, I am ready, I want to connect with you, I want to get to know you. I'm not in a rush. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not distracted by anything. Maybe I'll say a little bit more Tehillim today. Maybe I'll say my brachos with a little bit more kavana. I'll daven shachris, and I'll daven mincha if I can. I'll use my time to do good things. I'll think about what you want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll think about what you want me to be connected to. I'll think about what you want me to let go of. I'll think about the things that I can grow in and be more connected to you. You know, it's very interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine. For those of you who know Barry Myers, my class knows Barry Myers. He's a very good friend of mine, and we talk often. And she said to me today, she said, you know, it's so interesting. It's like, in a certain way, I'm enjoying. There's like a certain, it's like as much as there is concern for the people who are getting sick, and as much as there is these inconveniences and life has been halted and things have come to a grinding stop, there's this weird kind of satisfaction, enjoyment, something, there's this something positive that I'm feeling now. And we talked about it a little bit, and we realized that what we've been focusing on for the last few days has been real focus, life, meaning, priorities, what's really important. All the superficialities that have been distracting us and pulling us away and taking us away from what's important are just not on our minds right now. Right now, we're just focused on life. And what does it mean to be alive? And again, for a Torah Yid, it takes on a whole different meaning. For the non-believers out there, and for the atheists out there, it's not going to take on the same meaning. But for the believers, and for the Ehrlich, right, sincere people, for all of you girls, it takes on a whole new meaning. So of course we know that we're living in a time where we need to do introspection. And we need to think about ways that we can connect more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ways that we can get more acquainted with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to think about Hashem, and to do introspection and think about ways that we can become a little bit better. You know, I was talking to my son on either Matzah Shabbos or Sunday. I can't remember anymore. I don't even know what day it is today. And he was telling me that before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he was having a conversation with some of his friends, and they were talking about what it means to do teshuva. And he said something so simple and profound that I want to share it with you. You know, when we think about teshuva, we think about, you know, pounding on ourselves, saying chatasi, avisi, pashati, and this is a part of teshuva. No question about it. We have to think about the things we did wrong, and rectify them. And be mekabel al ha'asid that we're not going to do it. But it's only a part of teshuvah. And then there is another misconception about teshuvah. It's not, in other words, that is only a part. It's not the whole picture of teshuvah. That's a misconception to think that that's the whole concept of teshuvah. There's another misconception of teshuvah that we think, you know, we think about the Gedolim, and we think about Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Tzinkanievsky and Rabbi Yisvei and the tzaddikim of our generation, and we go back and we think of, you know, the tzaddikim of previous generations and how close they were to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Vilna Gaon and Rabbi Akiva and how far we are. We have to be like them. We need to just be more like them. And that's also a misconception, because that's not where HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you. He put you exactly where he wants you to be, with your tremendous talents and your challenges, with your family, with your siblings, with your neighbors, with your city, with your generation. We are exactly where we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be like the big tzaddikim. They are the ideal that we have to strive towards, but we're not supposed to be them. We're supposed to look at ourselves, and we're supposed to say, I am where I am, but I want to be a little better. Tshuva means to return, to come back to Hashem. I want to come back to you, Hashem. I want to be a little better than I am right now. And tomorrow, when you wake up, you say the same thing. I want to be a little better today, just a little. So if I can hold myself back from saying one not nice word, and if I can hold myself back from speaking disrespectfully one time, I'm a little better. And I'm doing that for you, Rabbi Nishalayim, because I know that's what you want. And I am letting go of my will. I don't live anymore in control of what I'm doing. I've lost that. I recognize that you're in control. And your will is my will. And I want to tell you something else, girls. For as long as we have been around, we as a nation have been through wonderful times, and then we've been through hard times. And we are pushed to our limits by the Ribono Shel Olam to do what we need to do so that we can come back and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can send the Yeshua. This is something that has been happening time and time again in our history. And we've done it. We've done it. And we can do it again. And we will do it. We know that the Medrash tells us, Bischus Nashim Tzidkanios Nigalu Avosenu Mimitzrayim. You know why we're out of Mitzrayim? This is not just a quote. I've said this to my own students before. This is not just an interesting observation. It's not just a concept that's just like, oh, interesting. This is a fact. You know why we are out of Mitzrayim? You know why we are out of that horrible, long gullus? Because of the Nashim Tzidkanios. Because of people like you. Because of the Schosim that you created when you were in Mitzrayim, or when we were in Mitzrayim. And the Medrash continues and says, Bischus Nashim Tzidkanios Nigalu Avosenu Mitzrayim U Bischusan Asidin Lihiga El. It's going to happen, girls. It's not just, oh, interesting. It's going to be in your zichus that this galus is going to come to an end. What an opportunity we have. What a fabulous opportunity we have to dig deep into our strengths, to dig deep into our kochos that each and every one of you have, to be strong, to be committed, to get up tomorrow, to go to sleep tonight. To get up, wait, where are we? I'm recording this tonight, so this is going to be tomorrow. To take on the day, whenever you're listening to this, stronger and more committed, with more emunah, with more commitment to do the Ratzon Hashem. We did it then, we're going to do it again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you, each and every single one of you. That every day should be a day. Every day should be a day that you're a little bit better than you were the day before. And I want to share something else with you. You know, when this first happened and everything was falling apart around us, I sat down with my kids. And I encourage you to do the same. Sit down with your siblings and tell them that things are happening in the world. Unprecedented things are happening. You're living through an unusual time. We're going through it right now. It's going to come to an end, be'ezras Hashem, very quickly, halavai. I want to be able to look back at these days, and hopefully not weeks, and say that these were the most magnificent days. These were days of such dveikus Hashem. These were days of such purity. These were days where I was thinking positive thoughts. These were days when we were trying to be done l'katzchus. These were days when we were having more kavana, more tefillah. I want to look back at these days, and of course, every once in a while, that feeling of, like, the nervousness and the fear creeps in, and then you try to, like, push that away because you want these days to be days full of Kedusha. This is an opportunity for us now to make these days, days that are full of Kedusha and purity and growth. And I want to say one more thing, because I love quoting Gitti Neuberger from last year. Gitti Neuberger said something so beautiful last year, and it's well worth repeating again. When it comes to Gashmius in life, boy, are we limited. And oh my goodness, are we seeing that now? Oh my goodness. I mean, her words were almost prophetic. We are so limited. And even under normal circumstances, with normal, I mean, forget coronavirus, normal circumstances, we're limited. You can only have the island if you can afford it. And no one can afford to buy, no one in the whole wide world can afford to buy the whole wide world, right? We're limited with what we can have in terms of Gashmias. But in terms of Ruchnias, girls, oh yeah, I'm thinking about each one of you. Tamar, Nechama, Esther Belsky, all my delicious, yummy girls. I can't think of all the names right now. All of you yummy, delicious girls. Your Ruchnius level achievements are limitless. It's limitless. You can all become higher and bigger and more, especially now when Hashem is right here. Get to know him. Use these days to connect to him. Use these days to become a little bit better than you were the day before. Okay, ladies. I would have loved to make this class last a little bit longer, but I think I've come to the end of my lesson. I want to wish you all a wonderful day and wonderful days ahead. And may we all be Zocha to see Yeshuos and Refuos. And may we all be Zocha to the Geula Shalema, B'mheira B'yameinu Amen. Have a wonderful day, girls. Make it a wonderful day. Bye.